What are my tomorrows to be that I'm to be all I can be? It's just like in the army. Be all you can be for the army, right? Well, we got to be all we can be for the king. We've got to be all we can be for our Lord. We've got to be all we can be for what he's got out there for each and every one of us. We've got to get off of our laurels. We've got to get out of our pity party. We've got to get out of woe is me. We've got to get out, well, if only this happened, if only that happened, it would be much different. And we've got to pick ourselves up and say, it's already different because I'm a child of God. That I don't need to stay down in the doldrums. I don't need to stay down here and think what could be. What might be? Well, if only this happened, if only that happened, if I only got a break here, if I only got a... You got a break when Jesus Christ gave you salvation. Amen. And once you receive him into your heart, you've got it. The battle has been done. The battle has been won. And I'm encouraging you, as well as myself, walk victoriously into your new year. Look at 2016 as that year of wow. What is going to happen? What is going to take place? I shared briefly on Wednesday night, and I don't know why all of a sudden I was wanting to kind of hold it back, but it's hard to hold back things that you feel God is impressing upon you. I felt this past week visiting with some pastors on coffee. We were talking about our thoughts for next year in 2016, and I told the pastors that, you know, what's exciting about it is God already knows what's happening. God already has my year planned out. God already has it there. My excitement is I want to get there. I want to follow God into 2016 and fulfill everything that he has on his plan for Tim. Not so that it can be me, but because I can give honor and glory to God, because God has these plans set before you to have you be a part of what he is doing. He works into this earth by us. Amen. He needs us. He needs our voice. He needs our hands. He needs our feet. He needs your talents. He needs your gifts that he's put into you to honor and to glorify and to bring the kingdom of God. We've talked about this past season, as well as the kingdom of God is here already. And we've got to walk in that and we've got to walk victorious. My goodness. And so we're going to spend a lot of time in Joshua, because Joshua is just a powerful book. Amen. How Joshua was there and what he did and what he accomplished, but how he did it. And so anyway, as I began to share with the pastors there, and just, you know, we're just having coffee, and I shared Wednesday night that, you know, we're talking around the table and I'm drinking, and one of the pastors said something, and all of a sudden I went, woohoo, like that, and he thought I had gas. He goes, well, you got a... got gas or something, Tim? What's wrong? I go, whoo, no, I said, I just felt something in the spirit, man. And I had to write it in a little tablet on my phone, you know. And so somehow it's going to come about this. Every year we go into every year saying, God, what are you going to do for me this year? God, what are you going to give me this year? God, what can I get from you? You know, we go to God with God. How many times when you pray to God, you're asking for stuff? I mean, come on, you got to be honest. I do. Not as much, maybe, as I used to. But I still go to him and saying, God, I would like this. God, I would like that. God, I would like this, you know? I think in 2016, God has impressed it upon my heart. And I don't. This could be our focus for 2016 as our message in where we're going. You know, this past year, it's boldly go to the throne of grace. You know, boldly go there. The other year, it was one of these things of little as much when God is in it. And these things that God just drops into us are all things that I read in the Word, and a lot of it comes out of the Old Testament as far as seeing the power and the might of God. But I think it's going to be a year that, rather than 2016 where we go into it, and I hope this is pulling the church, so to speak, us here into this realm of, it's not God what I can get from you, but I believe God said to me on that Wednesday as what can I get from you, Tim? Huh? What, God? God says, what can I get from you? What will you give me in 2016, Tim? How much more of you will you give me? You know, we hear his scriptures about loving him with all of our might, all of our strength, all of our soul, all of our strength, all of our might, all this stuff, and then love thy neighbor. And we know that's there, and that's what God wants. But do we really follow through with that? So I believe God says this for next year is that, Tim, what are you going to give me? what more of you? At times I look at myself, and do you look at yourselves thinking, well, Lord, I've given you 80% already. I've given you 50% already. What more do you need, Lord? Well, you know what the answer is, don't you? All of you. It's kind of like what with Joshua, children of Israel. These things as they were happening, the leadership, those that were taking the people. And what we're going to find in this is that the thing that, you know, this probably helped me a little bit when about towards the fall or the, I don't know, August time or so this year of getting this book here of the glory days that just came out. I shared about it. This one here is an uncensored copy. It's an advanced copy that I was able to get, they sent me. And so I began to read it, and I just was getting more and more encouraged as I read it because I saw myself in those chapters. I not only saw myself in those chapters, I saw our church in those chapters. I see the children of God right here in what Max Lucado was writing. And he pulled it all out of Joshua. And he talked about the time, and we'll go through some of this. But here's the thing that really set me on my heels, and I've shared it briefly sometime back, but I've got the DVD for about a month or so now. I'm just wondering, when are we going to launch into this? Well, it's too close to the end of the year. I don't want to rush into this. This is something that you can't rush into. You can't rush into the powers and the things that God has for you and just gloss over it. Amen? You can't just say, well, it's a good study, it's a good DVD here, we're going to have six sessions, bing, 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 and hey, we've got the glory days, it's all there. We're going to be looking at this, living your promised land life now. If I were to ask you, how many here are living your promised land life now? You don't need to raise your hands, but how many would say, hey, that's me? If we probably had two out of this entire group, one maybe, would probably stand close to what the statistics are when a reveal study that they took some this past year. And this is what got me. How many Christians would describe their days as glory days? 11%. 11%, nearly 9 out of 10 believers, in other words, are languishing in the wilderness. That person next to you is still in their wilderness, maybe. Maybe not. Maybe they're the one that's walking in their promised land. So you can see as a pastor, as leadership, as anybody that's, you know, wanting to encourage people and wanting people, myself included, to see the awesomeness of God on this side of heaven, that twisted me a little bit when you're thinking nearly 9 out of 10 believers believe that they're in the wilderness. With all that God has done, with all that God has promised, with all that God has said is yours, we're still languishing in the wilderness. That's sad, don't you think? Yes. What God has done, he's not going to do anymore. He's not going to add any more to this word. He's done it. It's over. It's settled. And yet we're still languishing in the wilderness. The bad thing, some of us might still be in the bondage side of that wilderness. In Joshua, we find that the children of Israel being led out of Egypt's bondage. How many here had bondage? We've all were bonded. We all had bondage. Maybe we're still walking in some of that now. They got into that wilderness time. The wilderness time was pretty good overall, right? Got them out of bondage. They saw God's power many, many times manifested in that wilderness, did they not? They saw him, how he had his power to change the things of Pharaoh and all this, and then all the pestilence and all these things that happened, and then they're in the wilderness, and now we got the army chasing them, but God is still faithful, and God is still by their side, and God is still there, and so he's doing marvelous miracles. So he's moving them through the wilderness. They're seeing the hand of God daily, really, because for a while there, until the Ark of the Covenant, it was like one of these things of what? Daytime, cloud, nighttime, fire. Wow. That would make you feel pretty secure, wouldn't it? Nighttime, it's dark, and I see a fire, and I go, ah, that's God. Daytime, going through situations, see the cloud, there's God. Do you not believe that you got the fire and the cloud in your spiritual realm right now, that God is with you all through the things that you're going through? You're pretty quiet. Good, think about it. I think this is something we've got to think about. We gloss over a lot of things in God's Word. And we hoopla and jump up and down and get little fuzzy feelings and feeling really good. And we want a spiritual feeling, and we got to have a spiritual touch, and we got to sense God, and we got to do this, and we got to see that, and we got to have, oh, we got to have all this, Lord, to make us know that you're here. I think we rise to the level of, I don't need any of that to know that God is here. Because God is here. Praise God, if he wants to manifest himself and do these miraculous things and the power, you know, it's by these things that will happen that will draw people, and he's still a wonder-working God, right? Well, he still does things today that astound us. Aren't you astounded at times of some of the miracles that you hear about, that what God has done? And we would write him off saying, well, that I thought all some denominations, some people of faith, I guess, believe all that was done back in the Old Testament with the apostles back then and the prophets there, and all this today that we're living in is just life. And life is going to be rough. We're living in the devil's playground. We're the God of this place that I'm in is the devil, so that means everything that happens in this place is just going to be doom and gloom and oh boy. But not for a child of God, not for a lady of God. Amen? No, because we are walking in the power of what God has done. We've got to understand that. And so many times we don't understand that. We might go to a service or a special meetings for a few weeks, and it juices us all up. We're powered up. We're like running on like a, you know, 100 and 220 volts of God. But then 3 weeks go past that experience, and pretty soon you're back down to 110. Then all of a sudden another few weeks go by, some things happen in your life, and now you're running on DC voltage for God. It's like, oh man, my battery's wearing down now. And so, yes, we have to stay encouraged. Yes, we have to go to those times and have special services, and those things are all well and good. And there's a purpose for those. But it's interesting how you see people, and we've seen it here many, many decades of special services, powerful meetings, great things, great anointing, great things developing, healings done, demons rebuked, and all this stuff happened upon, even, believe it or not, for those that weren't here at the time, up across these altars here, we had people moving like snakes, being demonically released of the demon within them. You would have thought after that, this place should have been booked and packed for what? Decades. But it's not. We are a fickle people. You can entertain us for a while, but then the entertainment loses its value. You know? It's like, and then if people come back and it's like, well, you know, last week they were, oh, there was a healing and this person did this and this would happen up there. And they'll say, well, the crowds will come at that time to see, and that's going to be a purpose of what God will use for sure by signs and wonders. I'm not discounting those signs and wonders. And a lot of those times, those people that filled these chairs out here were believers, I thought, didn't you? And so we have 2 or 3 weeks of God showing his power and magnificence of God and the love of God and the power of God. And then all of a sudden, you might have 5 or 6 services where none of that was happening. And then what happens to the people? Oh, just a regular old church service. Sing a few songs. Pastor gets up and reads some scripture. I don't see the power of God. You don't see the power of God because you're not noticing the power of God. Really, don't they say that? I can't think of what I want to say. That something like still waters run deep or something like that, or whatever that analogy is, that there's things that are below the surface that you don't see that are very powerful. And I think that's what we've got to understand with our God. I may not see somebody raised from the dead up here. I may not see somebody released of a demon over here. But I know that the powers of my God run deep. And I know that the powers of my God are presently with us in here today. If he can find a people that are hungering for him, if he can find a people that love him, that respect him, that obey him, that sell themselves out to say, Lord, I'm all yours, he will show up and he will stay. But when you got 9 out of 10 people thinking like, I'm still in the wilderness, you know, I have no empowerment. I have nothing. Then the devil hears that, and the devil jumps on that. And the devil will have your lunch. So it says here, they waste away in the worst of ways in the land of the in-between. How many of us are in that land of in-between? I'm tired of being in the in-between, aren't you? It's one thing if you're like, you know, an Oreo cookie and you're the icing in between the two cookies. I mean, that's a pretty important place, okay? But just being the in-between of from the bondage to the promise, and you're just here, and you're just like, oh, it's kind of good, but not kind of good. It's okay, but not super. And So they're in that land of in-between, out of Egypt, but they're not yet in Canaan. And that's where we want to get. We want to move. You know, the children of Israel, they went into the land of what? Canaan. And it was a time of about 7 years of everything was perfect. And as you go into Joshua, we'll find some more of that out. 11%, and it goes on, you know, if high schools only graduated 11% of the people, of the students, there would be a big change and all that. And it gets down here to the point of the church has a serious deficiency. That's us. Harvester Church of Rock County has a serious deficiency. Church ABC, down the road, they could have a serious deficiency. Oh, that big church has got 3,000 people over there that are just really on fire as far as they sing and hoot and holler and run or whatever. They could have a deficiency. They just don't know they've got a deficiency because they're so wrapped into what the programs are. They're so wrapped into the fringe of what we as pastors and leaders of a church think that we should always have been doing of trying to make the people entertained and make the people hungry and make the people... I can't make you hungry. I can lead you to the food. I can lead you to the buffet. But if you don't get your plate and walk through the line yourself and choose out what you want, I can't feed you. It's not up for my job or whatever this is to say when people leave the church, they go, well, the pastor just wasn't feeding me the meat. It's really not my responsibility to feed you the meat. It is your responsibility to look for the meat in God's Word. I am here to give you the milk of the Word because you have people come in that can't have the meat. And if we just continually fed meat, 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 and you got people here that need the milk, they will choke and they'll say, I can't attain that. I can't be worthy of that. I can't understand that. I can't put that into my life. I'm just getting back out in the world and just forget the whole thing. Just like that of a baby. So, you know, we hear all these things, and I take my responsibility as a pastor serious to the point of hearing from God and bringing before you what I believe God has spoken into my heart, and I trust and believe that. I said, okay, Lord, this is going to be you. Here we go. How are we going to do it? I always ask him, Lord, how are we going to do it? What's the best time? What's the best frame that we can do this in? And so we've got to get into this. If you want to show that video real quick here. Just going to read just a quick thing here. Joshua 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord speaks to Joshua. We find that in Joshua 1. It says, after the death, 1:1, Joshua, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun. He was Moses' assistant. And he says that, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And it goes on. I mean, that's just, you just read, if you just want to get encouraged and powered up to see the hand of God in your life, and when God tells you to go and do something, I have prepared a place for you. I guess I've got to find out, and that's where we started off as far as in 2016, God has prepared the place for you in this next year. And he's going to tell you, it's time to go. And it's going to say in there, won't that be amazing when it says like in 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I have said to Moses. Every place that your soul steps on, everywhere that you go this next year, to work, to shopping, to home, wherever you're going, you've got to believe and understand that God is directing your path. You might look at it and say, well, it doesn't seem to be very spiritual. It's not about spiritual. You might say, well, it's not very powerful. It's not very putting me out in the front of people. It's not a very powerful whoo thing like that. Maybe it's not meant to be a whoo. Maybe it's just to say God is saying, go. Follow the path that I have for you. Go over to that land that I have given to you and walk in that land and walk in that promise that I've given to you. And whatever that is, each one of our paths are different, aren't they? Whatever God has asked you to do, it's different generally from me. He will corporately maybe pull us together like this so that we can use giftings and talents to help and support one another, to support the kingdom and the ministry that's called forth. But come 1201, a lot of you guys book out here at 1201, you know, maybe that, or 1215, we all go what? Our separate ways. Now you can just imagine God is up there and he's seeing Harvester's Church and all the services here and okay, the final closing prayer and everybody's going. That's good because we say, go out there and show the love of Christ. Go out there and be that light. Go out there and give somebody an example of what Christ has done for you in your life. Be that living testimony, amen. And draw people to yourself, but draw them to God through you, right? For all to bring glory to God. And so we find that in this chapter, it starts out that Moses has died, the Lord speaks to Joshua, and the scripture that we want to get down to is in 7 and 8. I'm going to read Joshua 1, 7 to 8. Only what? Be strong. Do you think you're going to have to be strong to go in your tomorrows? And very courageous. Are you going to have courage to go out there? You better. Because it's generally when God tells you or has a plan or what God has predestined for you, you look at it as, I can't get there. I don't have the ability. I don't have the education. I don't have the smarts. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the people around that can get me there. I don't even know anybody there. That don't matter to God. God is just saying this, what? Be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. And it says this, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. That you may prosper wherever you go. That you may have success, or that you might act wisely wherever you go. In 2016, as we get ready to go in there, I'm ready to go. Let's just forget December. That's done already anyway. You know, everything is just shop, 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 and, you know, let's just get to January and let's go. Sometimes you just got to be ready. Can't wait to get there. A lot of times we dread it, don't we? Sometimes people go, oh boy. People that have had a rough year, people that have been in the wilderness this past year, they may be thinking, oh boy, I don't really, oh gee, 2016, probably be the same. Still going to have struggles. Still going to have sorrow, still going to have pain, still going to deal with this issue, still going to deal with that issue. 2016 is probably going to be like 2015, 2014, 2013. They don't see a difference. They don't see a newness. They don't see a freshness even in the beginning of a new year, do they? Because they lived in the wilderness for so long. Oh, they're out of the bondage. They're past that. Praise God. Got them into the wilderness. But they're stuck there. Why is that? Because they don't want to step over. There's even, you know, sometimes there's comfort in misery. There's comfort in the wilderness. Not really, but they begin to think that. Their mindset begins to reflect that. They begin to think, well, it's not the best, but it's really not the worst, right? It could be, oh, we like to say that to people. You know what, Lou, it always could be worse. Oh. Well, be thankful where you're at then. Well, where I'm at, still not the best. Well, but it could be worse. So if you need to stay right where you're at, that's okay, because it could always be worse. We need to be sitting there saying, yeah, it could always be worse, but you know what, Lou? It could be better in that promised land. It could be better walking into what God has for you. It could be better, probably, for sure, and you will have a great year. And you will begin to see the hand of God move mightily. You'll begin to say, "Whoo, I can't wait to get there because my God is there." And that's the thing that excites me, is that my God is already in 2016. I have not got there yet, but my God has got it ready for Tim. Does that excite you that your year of 2016 is planned out? He's destined, he's got a plan and a purpose for you in that year. Let's walk into it, but let's walk into it with anticipation and expectation that, Lord, you prepared it, and I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to take wherever I walk. You said in Joshua that, you know, wherever you tread, it's going to be yours. Now, a lot of this, you know, you're going to say, well, I want a big house. I'm going to walk through a big house, and I declare that. Well, we're looking through this in the spiritual realm more than anything, but the battles are won and lost in the spiritual realm. You are either victorious or you are defeated in the spiritual realm. Because God's word says our battle is not against what? Flesh and blood. But I'm going to tell you, when the things line up spiritually, you have a blessed life in the physical. I don't know how it happens. I don't know how it works, but I just know that it works. Do you? Have you got examples? Do you have testimonies of how you battle things in the spiritual realm and somehow the things in the physical realm just kind of smoothed out? Going through a hard time, difficult time, whatever it is, but yet you battle it in the spirit, and the battle is the Lord's, and I give it over to you, Lord, and I'm going to walk in it, Lord, and you're going to take care of it. And then all of a sudden your physical life begins to smooth out, and you're going, oh, this is great, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do not turn from the left, right hand, or to the left, I'm sorry, to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way. How is he going to make his way prosperous? Meditating upon the Word of God. That's what it really comes down to. It says that you will meditate in it day and night, that you may observe it to do according to all that is written. Now, God is telling him to all. Notice that God didn't. We would rather have God take out the word all. Wouldn't it be much easier to serve God in areas without him saying all of that, all of my law, all of what I have said to do? If it was so much easier for God, if he, you know, for us anyway, if it was like, Tim, if you do a portion of what I've said, then you will be prosperous and be blessed. Tim could say, I can do a little of it. I can follow some of it. I can do that. All right. I would be really excited. But as he tells Joshua, do you not think that same thing is for you today? Do you not think God would tell you that put your name in there? That this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and it'll make your way prosperous, and that you will have what? Good success. Now, we're looking at this, and we turn it into the natural of what man is today. Prosperous and success, we look at it as tons of money, you know, three houses, one on each coast, one in Hawaii. You know, we look at a big 401 retirement plan. Oh, that's all success. That's not what this is all about. And that's not what God is about. You will have success and you will have prospering in your life when you're following and obeying and serving God totality with your life. Amen. With everything that you're doing, with everything that you can take care of, that you honor God before anything else. That's like when our giving, you know, for the tithe, the first 10% of whatever you've given, it should be, by his word, the first tenth goes back to the kingdom. Amen? And it's really what he is doing is he's proving to yourself, you need to look at yourself and how faithful you are at that, what he is saying to do, to find out, are you really doing it? Now, if you're not, keep working on it. Amen? If you're not up at that tenth, if you're only at the 1%, 3%, 8%, 2%, whatever it is, don't give up. Because I didn't give up. It took me some years to develop into understanding and faith, my walk with God, to give 10% plus. But after it all develops and it grows and you see God's hand at it, you can't do nothing but give not to get, but you just know God loves a happy giver and one that'll just say, here's a need, Lord, I'm going to help it with this. Or here's what you've given me, Lord, I'm going to return back a portion. But you'll make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And so the key to this, as we look at what Joshua, and I think it stands for us today, it says here that Joshua was called by God to lead 2 million ex-slaves over into Canaan. What a job. 2 million. To inherit their inheritance. What one command or focus did God give Joshua? It was to read the word. Verse 8, meditate day and night. Meditate day and night. Now, this is kind of good because I talk to myself. Do you ever talk to yourselves? It's okay. Meditate, the Hebrew word denotes an active recitation, reciting something, a re-speaking of God's word. Thus they shall not depart from your mouth. So, you know, just you're just within yourself, you're just meditating. You're just saying, Lord, you've said this. Lord, I've read this. Lord, this is what I see. Lord, your word says this. Lord. And so you're just meditating on it. And sometimes those things come out verbally. Has ever somebody talked, been around you and said, what'd you say, Lou? Nothing. Nothing. Just talking to the Lord. Just me speaking, you know, thanking the Lord for something or, you know, inquiring about something, but just talking back to him about some, hey, Lord, you know, I read this, and what is this all about, Lord, and da-da-da-da-da. Like, well, I'm sorry, Randy, did you say something? No, just me and the Lord. I'm meditating on his word. In Joshua's time, he did not have the New Testament. We're blessed, amen? We got the full gospel, amen. We got the old and the new. We've seen God's provisions and his activeness in the old. We've seen the love and what Jesus did in the new. We put them together. And we should be just power sources of God's power, man. We ought to just be walking through promises and understandings and walking into our land of promise without any staying in the wilderness. But here again, like that survey shows and that reveal did, you know, 9 out of 10 living in a wilderness. They're out of bondage, but they really just don't have much of the empowerment of what's really there already for the receiving, if you would just receive it. But in Joshua's day, he had about 5 books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and just a portion of Deuteronomy, which was carried alongside the Ark of the Covenant. As with Joshua, the same will go for us. It wasn't enough for Joshua just to possess the scriptures. How many here has a Bible? How many homes have a Bible? How many people read their Bible? Good. You know, little by little, you'll be starting to see the hands go. How many read your Bible once a year? Hey, I do that at Christmas time. Read the Christmas story. Twice a year. Oh, Christmas and Easter. How many read it just day in and day out? You know, all of a sudden the hands will probably start going down more and more. But thank God for those that read it daily, for those that meditate upon it daily. That's, you're doing what the Lord has asked Joshua to do, and you're doing it in your life, and what I'm sure God is pleased with that. Amen? You're in his word. You're just meditating on it. You're just letting it soak in. I'm not saying to be on a year-long Bible reading program and think that you can just ace it and say, well, I read it and it's all done. No, you can read a lot of stuff and just gloss over it and it has no bearing on you. You just say, well, I read it. No, it's reading it and allowing it to soak in. It's reading it to where you just get maybe there's been times I think, Lord, I got to read a whole chapter here. I got to read this. And you begin to read through it, and all of a sudden you get like in the 4th and 5th verse, and something just powerful hits you. Pew! You go, oh, man, read that again. Read that again. Read that again. Close your eyes and think about it. Read it again. Then ask the Lord, Lord, how does that pertain to this life that I'm in right now? Can I see that same thing within my life right now? And you meditate and you think and you allow him to just, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, and you're led by the Spirit, and the Spirit just begins to drop and download stuff into you, and you begin to see it affect for your life today. Maybe that's all. Then you go, whew, I can't read anymore. That's powerful. I'm just going to dwell on that the rest of the day and just think what God said in that particular verse, in that passage. And how he said it, this is what it means for Tim today. Meditate. So it wasn't enough just to possess a Bible. It wasn't enough just to possess the Scriptures and have it all bound in something and say, well, I've got it in my little satchel. I'm carrying it. I got the Word of God right here. But do you know the Word of God that's right here needs to be in here? It needs to be here to where it's in the heart, where you can speak it so you know it. So it's not that it's good enough to have it. God wants the Scriptures to possess Joshua. God wants the Scriptures, His Word, to possess you. That's powerful. If you begin to think that His Word is possessing you, how many here, when you grew up and you had people that you idolized, people that you looked up to, you just hung on every word that they said? You just wanted to listen to Grandpa. Grandpa was a man of wisdom. Oh, Grandma was great. I could just sit and listen to her at the kitchen table, and she would just share things. Now, I'm not talking about sharing things spiritually and all that. I'm just there, you know, you would just hang on to every word they said. Their words were possessing you. You were listening deeply and taking it in and reflecting on it. That same thing is what God wants us to do with His Scriptures. His Word is here for more than just being in a Bible. His words are in the Bible, but it's much more than just being print on paper that we can close up and put on a coffee table or put on a desk somewhere. His words are there in print for us to read them, to meditate on them, and then to allow His words to possess us and to lead us and to guide us, to give us strength, to give us hope, to give us encouragement, to give us peace, to direct us, to answer some questions that we have whys. Why? Am I the only one that ever asked God a question of why? Probably not. But the times I've asked Him why, I've either found it in the Scriptures or He's shared something in the Spirit and something in the Scriptures that I read. It just all comes together and it's like, okay, Lord. Okay, you're God. Wow. Let God's Word possess you. We always talk about, you know, we get in a spiritual thing like, oh, they're demon-possessed. Hallelujah, I want to be godly possessed. I want to be possessed by His Word day in and day out so that I don't have to worry about all that other stuff, that I'm just going to walk, and I'm going to walk in the strength, and I'm going to walk in the power of His might, not my might, because I have no might. I have no power. But I can be a willing vessel. I can be open and say, Lord, pour into me. You. Lord, use me. Help me, Lord. I want to honor You. I want to glorify You, Lord. So God is not telling Joshua to seek a spiritual experience. Nowhere in there did He say, hey, Joshua, you know, have a super duper spiritual experience. No, meditate on My Word. Meditate on the law which Moses, My servant, commanded you. It wasn't talking about having goosebumps or fuzzy feelings. No! God wanted Joshua to open his Bible, follow what God instructed. It is no different for us today. If we want to walk in the glory land, if we want to walk in that promised land, it's opening the Bible, letting God's Word possess you, letting God's Word lead you, let God's Word just direct your life, and you've got to do something. You've got to cancel out the world. You've got to push the world as far away from you as you can, because it'll try to get in there and mix up with you and try to get you off base and off balance and all these things. And the world will want you to be so focused on the things in the world that you can't focus on God's Word. Do you see not that happening today? So much in the world just takes us off of the things of what God is all about. I want to look at a... Let's see here. My book here. See how this works. We're running short of time. How does that happen? There's another study that was done in here through the Reveal study. It says here, the Bible is the most important tool in our spiritual growth. Do you believe that? The Bible is the most important tool in our spiritual growth. We can say this with confidence because of the good work. And this was of Craig Hawkins and Callie Parkinson. In the research for their book, Move, they set out to find the key factors for spiritual growth. Isn't that what we all want? I want to see you guys grow spiritually. I want to see myself grow spiritually. Don't you? Don't you want to grow spiritually in the things of God? And it's got to be more, I want to get closer to Him than I am today. I want more of Him than the things that this life has for me. So in their research on the Book of the Move, they set out to find the key factors for spiritual growth. They asked the same question that we are asking. How do we move out of the wilderness into Canaan? How do we move out of weak faith into life-giving faith? Their study was conducted by an independent market research firm. So this firm wasn't anything like connected to the gospel, connected to a denomination or a church or anything like that. It was independent. The secular company had no agenda other than to just earn their fee by being accurate. So it was a secular company. They surveyed people in 1,000 churches, and what they discovered raised the eyebrows of at least 1,000 pastors. They surveyed about 1,000 churches and raised the eyebrows of those same pastors, like, who? And it says this: nothing has a greater impact on spiritual growth than reflection on Scripture. Nothing has a greater impact on spiritual growth than reflection on Scripture. This. You want to grow spiritually? Let the Word of God possess you. You don't need to, all the hoopla and all the razzle-dazzle things out there that takes place in a lot of our churches. You just need to let the Scripture possess you, God's Word. If churches could do only one thing to help people at all, turn the page. Okay, let me read that. If churches could do only one thing to help people at all levels of spiritual maturity grow in their relationship with Christ, their choice is clear. They would inspire, encourage, and equip their people to what? Read the Word. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. The key to spiritual growth is not to increase church attendance or have an involvement in spiritual activities. People don't grow in Christ because they're busy at church. They grow in Christ when they read and trust the Bible. You find somebody, you show me, I talk to somebody that reads God's Word, believe it's God's Word, they're built up by God's Word, and that person there will be a person of faith, a person of strength, a person knowing where they're going with God and where God is at with them. Because this Word of God will tell you where you are at with Him and where He is at with you. Now, He is not going to get any closer to where He's at with you because He's already done it all. But what you can do and change that equation is you can sell yourself out more for God and get rid of the world. Give up on the world and turn to God. Oh, yeah, we're going to live here. We're going to be a part of this. And while I'm here, I'm just going to be whatever I can be for the kingdom of God. I'm not going to be sorrowful. I'm not going to be timid. I'm not going to apologize for God and what God is doing and what God has done. Oh yeah, we go through trials and tribulations, and people always want to kick the shins of God in this world because we have terrorism and we have loss of life and we have accidents and people lose their lives. Sadly, how can this happen? How can God allow this? And all I can say is, I don't believe my God is allowing that. But we've got to look at the focus and where we're at, and we've got to get to the point to say we live in a fallen world. It is not going to get any better here until Jesus returns or until we're called home. But while I'm here in this fallen world doesn't mean that I've got to live as a fallen being. I can live as a conquering being. I can live as a person that knows who I am in Christ and who Christ is in me and know what God has done and accomplished for me, and I can walk victorious even in a fallen world. Amen. Amen. Keep it up, Pastor. I like that word. Don't chart your course according to the opinions of people. We do that a lot. How did that sound? Was that okay? Did you get that? Was that okay? Don't ask somebody how the message was, because if I ask 5 people, they'll give me 5 different directions, and I'll be going, huh? I thought it was this way. You got something different than what I did. Praise God. It's just the way it ministers to all of us differently, and what God pulls out of that into our spirit. Or don't go looking for people to give you the opinions and things that you need. Here's an interesting thing. And this is to, you know, as we focus, and I'll close with this. I only got halfway through this. But I'll close with this. Because what we focus on, whatever you focus on is what you will lead or will guide you to. If you focus on whatever, you know, it'll just, it's part of your life then. So it says here, don't chart your course according to the opinions of people or suggestions of the culture. And the culture is out there really doing a lot of suggestions. We didn't get to this, but next week we will. And it's the 19 areas, 19 things that you will see in a person's life that is the fruit of rebellion. Well, there's a lot of that going on, man. But anyway, if you do, you will make the mistake that a farmer's son. So he goes and he talks about this story of a farmer's son. And it says this, the father sent the boy to prepare a field, reminding him to till a straight line. Now, you know, in farming, not that I've done it, but I've seen them do it. And they like to, I always wonder, how do they draw a straight line on their crops and lines, you know? Well, you know, I try to do that out here when I try to cut the grass, and it don't always work. It's like... So the father sent the boy to prepare the field, and he reminded him, saying, son, to till straight lines, you've got to select an object on the far side of the field, and you need to plow straight towards it. If you're going to go through this life going straight with God and the things that God has for your life, you need to focus on His Word. Not on the culture of our times, not on what society says to focus on. The society will say, focus on your job, focus on your retirement, focus on what this world can give you. This world can't give you anything. This world will give it to you and take it away. Whenever they want it, they'll take it back from you. Doesn't matter. So many times we have focused our lives and things on jobs, career, occupation, all the things that we think that we've been told as we've been growing up. And yes, you need a career, you need a job, you need all these things, yes, but don't let them have you. Don't focus on that and draw your line through life focused on that job, focused on my bank account, focused on my friends. So he says, select an object on the far side of the field, then you just need to plow straight to it. Well, so later the father checks on the boy's progress, and the boy's been out there for most of the morning. The father comes and he goes, oh my goodness, there wasn't a straight row. Every row. So the father's got a dilemma. So he checks on the progress. There wasn't a straight furrow to be found. Every row was uneven and wavy. I thought I told you to select an object and plow toward it, the father said to the son. And the boy answered him, but the rabbit kept hopping around. And that's sometimes our life. We've focused our life. We come out of school, high school, we focus on that. And this is where we're going. But the things of this life move. The culture changes. This goes over here. And pretty soon I look back and my life is just nothing but just uneven rows and just a wandering. And you look back and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I would have gotten a lot further if I walked straight. Because we know every time we change a degree here and there, we're not going straight, and it's going to take longer to get there. But that doggone rabbit just kept hopping, Dad. A straight line, like a good life, requires an unmoving target. Set your sights on the unchanging principles of God. Let God's Word be the authoritative word in your world. I'll end with that, but you will find it says here how true it is that this direction and this thought process rubs the world the wrong way. And they don't like it. They don't like God's Word. They don't like that you follow this. I mean, I share this. I remember I was told that when I got really connecting to God and following and just reading this and having this with me, bless her heart, I love her. She was the greatest mom that I ever had. I only had one, but she was hands and feet and all over anybody else. She was a great mom. But bless her heart, there was something different in her son. And she had told somebody that it was like, oh, he just uses that Bible as a crutch. A lovely lady, a wonderful mom, But she didn't understand it. Nothing negatively about it. It's just where she was at. And at first, it kind of got me going, it's not a crutch. I can stand on my own 2 feet. But then I began to think, maybe my mom was right. Maybe I am using this as a crutch. Because what does a crutch do? Holds you up. It keeps you stable. Keeps you from falling. So I really had to say thank you, Mom, to myself, you know, as I battle it within myself. I never confronted her with it. It was just something that I heard. But I said, you know, she's right, because this does hold me up. And I will lean on this, because God's word says, do what? Do not lean on your own understandings, but by all things, lean upon Him, you know. Lean upon Him. Cast your cares to Him. That's a crutch. Woo! She knew more about, she spoke probably more spiritual there in that comment, thinking that it was kind of like, you know. But God took it the other way with me, and I said, yeah, God, thank you for the crutch. Hallelujah. Like I said, she's a great mom, and she was nothing mean-spirited about it. But see, that's the world. That's the culture out there, even in your family. They will see that, and you start talking God, you start talking the power of this, you talking about, oh, God's this and God's that, and your family themselves, well, Jesus had the same situation, no miracles he could do in his own hometown. So you will find even in your family and closest friends that they will think of you as, oh boy, gone off on the deep end. But you know what? Like, yeah, it's okay that they think that. Because I know where I'm at. And I can pray for them, or, you know, maybe my life will be a testimony to them and they'll be encouraged by somehow, some way. I don't know. I still don't know what my family thinks totally of me. You know? But who cares? We still have fun and laugh and joke around and all that good stuff. But I've got to, this year is myself, and I hope that you too will say, you know, this is the year that I need God's word to possess me. And I'm not going to go to God and ask him for all these things all the time. Give me, give me, give me. I want, I want, I want. I want to go to God and I just want to say, first of all, thank you, Father. And then I'm going to hear God say, Tim, what are you going to give me this year? How much? I'm not talking money. How much more of you are you going to give me? Because the more of ourselves that we give to God, the more that he can work within us to turn things around and really see his providence and his power and his manifestation in our life anyway. And it's really a win-win for us, for me, for you, that if we can do that. But we got to change the thought. We got to get our thoughts out of the culture of what I can do and it's like, or what I can get, as to what can I give. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. You're a wonderful, loving God. Your word is powerful. Your word is sweet. Your word is tender. Your word gives us direction, correction. We love you, Father. And Lord, as we prepare, and I know we're getting an early start, but Lord, I just feel we need to get a jump start on 2016. That, Lord, we will begin to take this next year and begin to search out where your word is at in our life. Where are you at in our life? I pray that we will be honest within ourselves. It's not that we're going to do a survey here at this church, Lord, but I pray that everybody will do an internal survey of their own spiritual walk and where they're at with you this year and the past years. And let it be for these times now or in the past. Because now, Lord, I see the future. And I see that, Lord, you are there. And I see greater things developing, greater things prepared. And you are just saying, come. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Don't be fearful and timid about your future with what God has planned for you. But walk straight towards it. No need to go to the left, no need to go to the right. Oh, and if you do by chance left or right, the Lord is such gracious and so loving that if you ask him to, he will nudge you back on that path. To say, Lord, set my feet upon that path so that I fulfill that call that you have for me for us, for this church even, Lord, for 2016. Because, Lord, I know that whatever you have predestined, whatever you have prepared, it will fulfill itself and it will come about. And, Lord, it'll either come about through us that are here presently today, or if we should tarry and wait and not fulfill the things or get off base with it, Lord, that you have others that will come behind us, Lord, to take this work into that next level of where you have it. I just pray, Lord, that those that are here today, myself included, we're that group, Lord. We're that people right now, Lord, that are going to step over into the Canaan. We're going to step over into that promised area, that promised land for Harvesters Church of Rock County, that promised land for individually, for Tim, and you can put your guys' name in there, for that promised land that you have prepared for. We're going to walk into it, Lord. But the thing we're going to walk into it with is being possessed by your word. Now, Father God, go with us. Be with us. Let us be a love and an example to those around us, Lord. Let us be quick to respond on how Jesus would respond to those that we come into contact with, Lord, to show them your love, your compassion, your righteousness, your grace, your mercy. We love you, Father. It's a work to do, we know, Lord. But you've not left us alone. You've sent the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and to infill us, Lord. And so we go with that dunamis power. That dunamis power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We thank you, Father. Repeat after me. Father God, I look forward to this next year. I'm boldly going to go into it, not thinking about the past, but setting my sights on what you have already prepared. And I'm going to receive it. Not by my power, but by your power. Not by my might, but by your might. Oh, hallelujah. We look forward, Lord.